Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Viking University podcast sponsored by Viking Capital Investments. Viking Capital Investments is a multifamily acquisition company investing in value-add assets. If you're interested in joining the Viking Club, please visit vikingcapllc.com. That's Viking, V-I-K-I-N-G, cap, C-A-P-L-L-C.com. This is Dr. Ravi Gupta, and thank you once again for joining me for this exciting episode. Imagine a life of freedom. And I just don't mean financial freedom, but geographic freedom, time freedom, freedom of health, and freedom of charity. Imagine living a life on your own terms. Well, today we're talking to someone who has done just that. I'd like to welcome Peter Kim, founder of Passive Income MD, a resource for physicians to find a side hustle and reach the point of financial independence. Peter Kim is an anesthesiologist who lives in LA. In his own words, quote, "I'm the guy who will pretty much try anything if it will make a positive impact on my life." His passion in life is his kids and multiple dogs, and he practices medicine on his own terms while being supported financially by passive income streams. I love today's episode because it's exciting to discover how someone found this freedom through passive investing. Today's book recommendation is Die with Zero by Bill Perkins, which is a common sense guide to living rich instead of dying rich. All right, folks, let's get to it. Hey, Peter, happy to have you.
Hey, Ravi, thanks for having me too. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So really excited about this episode. Today, we're going to talk about what's life like after retirement. It's going to be really exciting to hear your story, Peter, about how you came to the point of financial independence and where you're headed. So maybe we can start off with just you telling the audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name is Peter. I'm an anesthesiologist. I still call myself an anesthesiologist in Orange County, California now. Recently moved. I have a beautiful wife who's a physician as well and two young children. I guess I'm best known for running the brand Passive Income MD, where I teach physicians how to create financial freedom through multiple streams of income. I'm just trying to enjoy life as it comes and trying to do as many things as possible.
You grew up on the East Coast, is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in the East Coast in Maryland. I did all of my schooling there. I went to Hopkins for undergrad, University of Maryland for med school. And then I moved out to the West Coast because I met my wife out there out east. She was in med school at the same time. She was like, hey, why don't we try the West Coast for our training and let's just see how it goes. And I think she knew that I'd love it right when we got there. So moved out to the West Coast, went trained my anesthesia at USC, and I've just stayed here ever since.
Great. So you just went straight through nonstop.
Well, I took a few years off between college and med school. And then even after my internship, I took a year off to match up with my wife so we could start our residencies together over here in the West Coast. So I've taken probably 3 years kind of off the track, but after that went straight through.
Got it. So how long were you working before this idea came to you to start Passive Income MD, or maybe even start a side hustle, or maybe even pull away from your clinical responsibilities?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because I had no intention of doing anything else besides being a doctor, working in medicine. That was like my ultimate goal, probably for most people listening to this. And after fellowship, I got my dream job and I thought I was completely set. And I had no intention of doing anything. I thought I reached the promised land. And then a couple of years into my practice, when I was supposed to become a partner, a few things happened at work. I'd say politically is the way I say it nicely. But I found out that I was not in control of my time, my shifts, and therefore my income, which kind of to me translated as I'm not in control of my life. And so after 2 years of working full time, working mostly nights and weekends, this kind of thing, I said, wait a minute, this isn't right. I mean, this is something that it's not what I thought it would be. And so I kind of went on this quest to figure out what other people were doing in medicine to take back control, to find some of that happiness back and figure out how they could really create their ideal lives while still being in medicine and practice medicine. And so I went out there looking for as many people as possible who seemed to have it together. I found them in my hospital. Luckily, I'm an anesthesiologist, so I work in so many different areas with so many different people. So I just started talking to people and asking them about it. Like, what are you doing that allows you to live the life that you have? It turns out that most of them, if not all of them, that kind of like reached this point, had created streams of income outside of medicine. And so I started digging a little bit deeper, and it just happened that most of them were doing it actually through real estate investing. And so I just like, you know, I tried to get as much information out of them as possible, started doing my reading, my education, and then I decided to just jump in head first. And it kind of started with real estate investing and took off from there.
Okay. So you started real estate investing first before starting Passive Income MD.
Yeah. I mean, I just started investing, started seeing some of the benefits of it, some of that passive cash flow. And then I just started telling everybody about it. First, my colleagues, I mean, of course, my wife, and then my friends, and then my colleagues. And then I think enough of them kind of got sick of me talking about it all the time that they said, hey, why don't you point me to some resources? Or if you want to start a blog, I'll read it. And so after sitting on that for, I'd say, about a year, at least the idea, I finally decided, hey, maybe I should write something about this. And so I started out by writing 10 articles. I said, I'm going to write 10 posts. If I can get through that, and if it seems like it's helpful in any way, then I'll continue it. I put those 10 posts out there. I guess it resonated with a lot of people in medicine out there, and it just kind of grew from there. And that's how Passive Income MD got started. Not because I was trying to grow this media brand or this kind of thing. It was really just to help some of my friends out by putting something online so I wouldn't have to say the same thing over and over again.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting. So I definitely want to talk about Passive Income MD in just a little bit, but I want to hear about these real estate investments that you made. Can you tell us how that started, or what was your first investment and how you grew to the point where you're able to financially really gain this independence?
Yeah, I think like many people who got started in real estate investing, maybe you have and a lot of my friends have, I got turned on to the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it kind of talked a little bit about a paradigm shift of how we create income, how we create control in our lives, and how it's important really to free yourself from time in terms of like the time in, money out equation. And so when I figured out that I want to do that in real estate, I started kind of finding out the landscape. I started talking to people, what were they doing to create this income? And at that time, most of them were actually buying their own rental properties. So I started going to investor meetings for people who buy their own rental properties. It was something called Bigger Pockets, which is a popular podcast and a group out there. Went through some of their forums and found some meetups. So I went there, and that led me to one thing, led me to other people. And I was a little bit scared to step in, you know, initially, like put all that capital at risk initially. And somebody had told me that there was this new concept called crowdfunding, where you could invest in other people's deals online, you know, through a click of a button and at these lower minimums. And for me, that felt like that's something I could do, a smaller step to kind of dip my toes in, see if this is something for me, while I didn't have to do any of the work, you know, put some of my capital in there and kind of learn as I go. And so I did. I started with a $5,000 investment in a crowdfunding deal online, where I essentially acted as the bank, right? All our investors acted as the bank, where we lent money out to a fix and flipper. They did their thing and they paid us monthly interest. And when the deal was over, then they paid us back our capital in full, right? So that's how I started. And it was something that really got me super excited. I tell people the story about how I got that very first, I'd say, dividend or whatever it was, deposit into my bank account. I think it was something like $47. And I got so excited when I saw it in my bank account. I mean, I told my wife, I told my friends about it, about this $47 that I had made outside of medicine. It really ignited this hunger in me to see, you know, if I could do more of this. You know, I saw the potential, you know, that this thing could grow over time. And that got me started on that journey.
So the next couple of years, you're still working as an anesthesiologist. You're investing in these deals. How did this evolve? Did you continue the crowdfunding? Did you grow into bigger types of investments? How'd that work?
Yeah, it's kind of like funny. Like when you first take that first step, the second step is a lot easier, and the third step and fourth step. So after that first step, which took me a while to get to, you know, a lot of reading and kind of concerned about it. Then I invested in a $25,000 syndication deal, where again, somebody was buying an apartment building. They're putting a deal together. I would come in as a limited partner and really a small ownership stake in that apartment building. And so I was able to do that. And I found a deal that was happening about 3 miles from my own house. So I could actually see the building, you know, touch the building, but and feel that pride of ownership as a limited partner. And so I started in that deal, and then I saw the benefits of that. And then that gave me actually enough courage to go out and purchase my own rental property. And so since that point, I've really kind of had like a mixed portfolio of owning my own rental properties, some apartment buildings, both locally and abroad. I've had some single family homes that I've, again, bought locally and abroad. And I've done a lot of that passive investing, where I've invested in other people's deals, both these syndications and real estate funds. And all I'm trying to do is basically do the same thing with both sides of that. I'm really just trying to create that passive income, that passive cash flow that really frees me up to really do anything I want with my time.
Okay, great. And then how many years of doing this and working were you able to realize some of that time freedom that you were craving?
Yeah, I'd say I really was able to take advantage of that somewhere, I'd say about year three or four is where I kind of started. Now, my goal wasn't to retire completely from medicine, like right away, like that early retirement. People talk about financial independence, retire early. Like that was never really my goal. I love medicine. I still love medicine. And the goal was not to get out of medicine as soon as possible. It was really to allow me to practice medicine how I wanted. And at that time, I was working too many nights, too many weekends, time away from family. I had a kid recently, and I wanted to spend more time seeing my child grow up. And I was really trying to figure out how to do that. And so I just started kind of, as the cash flow came in, I started buying my time back, meaning that if I had enough cash flow that I normally would make doing a weekend shift, I would give up that weekend shift to a colleague and instead be able to enjoy the money that came in passively. And so I started really buying my time back gradually over time. And I call it like really gradual retirement versus like kind of that big boom fall into nothingness, right? That's how I slowly started to kind of make things happen. And the funny thing is over time, like it's not actually a linear thing. As you start investing more and more, I tell people it's almost like an exponential growth. And that's what ended up happening. Yeah, I started giving it more time. That money started coming in and I was able to buy more and more of my time. Now, to be honest with you, it was kind of a little a scary thing. Like we're so used to that security. And a lot of us went into medicine because we love that security aspect of it. And so even though I had the income coming in, it felt like I was giving up income every time I gave up a shift. And that's like a mental hurdle that I had to get over. I had to realize that I was really gaining something a lot more in terms of my time and that sort of thing. But that's really kind of how I played this whole strategy in this game.
That's a very interesting story. And then are you at the point now where you could literally just not work if you didn't want to?
Yeah, so I've actually tested that for a while now. I hit that point several years back. But again, it's still that feeling of like, oh my gosh, what if this happens? What if that happens? But actually, I put that into practice. I haven't seen a patient probably at this point, as when this podcast comes out, I haven't seen a patient or been in any sort of clinical environment for about 5 months now. I decided to take a mini retirement to see how this goes, right? Obviously, it tests how my finances work, tests the feeling of like, how am I? Like in terms of working less, like, do I enjoy medicine? Should I still be in it? This kind of thing. And, you know, I've learned a lot through this period. Number one, that my finances can absolutely handle it. It's given me that confidence really to truly do whatever I want with my time. But it also made me realize I do miss clinical medicine. I do want to spend some time in it. And so I'll be going back in about a month or two, but really on my own terms. I'll be going back per diem, again, on a very flexible schedule, doing things that I love, which is kind of like teaching and kind of really just serving the community.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, that's a great story. So I guess switching gears here, going back to what you spoke about, passive income MD, because that's, I feel like you're really known by that name. I mean, everybody's like, oh, Peter Kim, passive income MD. It's gained a lot of popularity in our community. So can you tell us a little bit about that, what that is? And you mentioned how you started it, but just how it evolved to what it is today.
Sure. It just started as 10 posts, right? On a blog. I mean, I never considered myself a writer, but I decided to write something that probably the 10 most common questions I get. And I put it out on a blog. People started to read it, started to grow. And after that, I just started publishing a post every single week. And from there, people started saying, hey, we love to actually consume this kind of content on a podcast, just like you're doing, right? Because some people want to listen to this while they drive and it's a lot more efficient, right? Because this is kind of quote unquote wasted time anyways. And so I started a podcast. Then people said, hey, we would love to get together to talk about this stuff in person or in a more like kind of high yield format. So we started doing conferences and summits. Then people said, oh, I really want to learn how to do a lot of the due diligence behind a lot of these passive real estate investments that you're doing. Any way you could kind of help us learn how to do that. And so we put together courses on that. And so this thing has just really grown out of what people in the community have asked for. It's not something that, I'll be honest with you, that was like super intentional from the beginning to what it is now. But again, it's as we see people's needs, we've kind of grown into that. And so now we have like a big Facebook group called Passive Income Docs also that serves about 13 or almost 14,000 physicians, just talking about this stuff, about how to create financial freedom, talk about multiple streams of income, talk about real estate investing, even talk about entrepreneurship as a physician and the benefits of that. And so all of these kind of things are topics that we cover throughout this whole brand.
Yeah, I was looking through your website. There's a lot of interesting material, not just in real estate, but other types of side hustles like online coaching or book deals or e-commerce. Like it was all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I think that the basic concept is diversification. It's all about diversification, not only of income, right? I mean, we talk about that when you invest in, people talk about investing in stocks and, you know, why you should invest in mutual funds for diversification. We should take that a step further and really figure out how to diversify all aspects of our life, not just income, but kind of our identity as well. Because as you know, we're all like, we're more than just a physician. We're more than just this or that. We're also husbands, wives, partners. We all have other types of interests and hobbies and passions. And many of us could have gone into anything that we wanted and I'm sure have been successful. Like weren't able to follow that because we're all in on medicine. And so I find that when people really diversify kind of their interests as well as their identity, you know, I'm the physician, but I'm also a musician, or I'm also an entrepreneur, and these kind of things. It really kind of helps people feel fulfilled. And that way, if like one aspect of your life kind of happens to, you know, go down for whatever reason, let's say your work at your hospital, things don't turn out as well. And all of a sudden you're really unhappy with your job, you know, even being a physician, but you have all these other things that really continue to keep you and keep you lifted. And so that's something that we talk a lot about on the blog and the brand. And that's why we talk about so many different things, because I think that, you know, we're so much more multidimensional than sometimes we even give ourselves credit for.
Yeah, I love that concept, diversifying your identity. It's something that I didn't think about in that aspect. I think about doing different things and various things in my life as a husband, as like a soccer coach or whatever it may be, but just the concept of diversifying your identity and how it could actually help when one aspect of your life doesn't go well, you have all these others. That's such an amazing concept.
So yeah, I think you're a great example of that. I mean, when I...
Oh, thank you. Right. Appreciate that. So let's switch to another question that a lot of people ask is the money that people need to retire. Because people think about retirement, and it's not just the stereotypical retirement that we're thinking about. It's not sitting there, you know, watching TV, you know, not really doing anything with your life. This is living your passions, living your dreams, that type of thing. So the question is, how much money do you need to make that happen? And how do you calculate that? Was there something that went through your mind, like a calculation that went through your mind to figure out what you needed to get to this point?
Yeah, I started by trying to figure out, like, okay, if I didn't work in medicine altogether, what do I need on a monthly basis to cover it all, to cover the lifestyle that I want, whether it's to be at home with my family, whether it's to travel, to enjoy nice things, do all the good work that I want to do in terms of charity, social mission, this kind of stuff. Like, what would I need to make that happen on a monthly basis? Because I think everything happens on a monthly basis. We all think about monthly rent, mortgage, whatever it is. So I just started calculating that out. And it's something that anybody can do. They can go back to the last 6 months, a year. Just go back to your spending. See how much you spend. See what that minimum is. And then I like to tell people add 10 or 20% just to have a little bit of a buffer. And so I did that. And I told myself, all right. I mean, I gave myself a pretty round number. I said, if I have $20,000 a month, that was a number I gave myself. I have $20,000 a month and I have 20 years to accomplish that through these different strategies and passive kind of methods to get that cash flow, then I know it would be totally set. And the goal, again, was not to just drop off the face of the earth and just sit back, which, you know, it might be fun for a little while, but I think all of us have some sort of need to have some sort of purpose to grow and contribute. Again, I look for that $20,000. So I kind of start working backwards. I told myself, all right, if I have 20 years and I need to make $1,000 a month in passive income, it kind of sounds like a lot and it sounds kind of intimidating, but I started breaking it down. You know, if that means in about 10 years, if I took half of that, then I should probably be at the mark where I get about $10,000 a month. Then I kept working that backwards, 5 years, 3 years, 1 year. And I told myself, all right, can I get to $1,000 a month this year in 1 year? Can I figure that out? Because if I can figure that out, it's just kind of a step-by-step approach to getting $20,000 a month. And that seemed a lot more attainable to me. And I was able to do that. And it's almost easier for someone like me, you know, to figure that thing out, maybe someone listening to this. And so that's what I challenge people. I say, come up with that number and then kind of reverse engineer it. Work it backwards to a smaller unit that you figure that seems attainable and honestly is attainable to all of us. And so that's where I started. And I think that's just my advice for anybody else out there trying to achieve the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's great advice. That's exactly how you want to think about it. And there's a great book. It's a Tony Robbins book, Money Mastering the Game, where he discusses this, in fact, and he talks about financial freedom and absolute financial freedom. So what you're discussing is absolute financial freedom, which is not only just, you know, financial freedom of, you know, you're kind of getting rid of or taking care of expenses, standard expenses, mortgage, clothes, food, car payments, things like that, but even charitable donations, even like things that will help you grow and contribute. And that's super important because we all have this need, as you mentioned, to grow and to contribute. And when you stop that, you start stagnating and that can lead to other problems in life. So I think that's an amazing way to think about it. And that's exactly how I thought about it. And I like the buffer too. You want to put that buffer in because you don't know, you know, when you're going to need that extra. So in your case, did it sounds like you came to that number a lot quicker than 20 years. I mean, obviously you hit that pretty quickly.
Oh, a lot quicker than I thought. Actually, in less than 10 years, right? Maybe even less than that. I mean, at this point, so I started my journey just to tell people and give some perspective. Is I think that the moment I decided that this was going to be a goal of mine was back in 2013. So it's not 2021. It's been about 8 years. And, you know, just to be honest, I've overachieved, I'd say, in that way. And so it starts with like that first step. You know, it starts with just taking action. And I tell people that even though I talk about this whole reverse engineering as if it's a linear thing, every year you accumulate this much, like you and I both know that once you kind of get started down this journey, it kind of grows, and it can grow like exponential. Like your experience, your knowledge, your connections, your network, as you start leveraging all the resources that you have, it starts to grow in a very exponential way and a lot more powerful than you think. But the key is to just get started. Otherwise, you know, you might not get to year three, you might not get to year four, and that sort of thing. And so that's really my encouragement. Like when it comes down to it, we'll talk about this later, but it's just like people just have to get started.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just in some cases, you sort of like throw your hat over the fence and figure out how to get it. You know, you need to start that momentum, get things going, put a few dollars down. And like, as you said, 5,000, that's not a big chunk of money. And it helps just to put that down so you can understand the system and how it works, and are comfortable putting more in. Excellent. So that's great. And I think a part of this, as we discussed, was it's, you know, financial freedom, but there's time freedom on top of it. And what I've found personally is, you know, what I've really discovered is the concept of leveraging. And I think that's extremely important. And it's something that I was, and I'm talking about leveraging other people, not in a bad way, but just, you know, to help you get that time freedom back. And, you know, when I grew up, my father always taught me, hey, look, if you can do it yourself, do it. Like, don't spend that money, you know, on getting somebody else to do that work. So I grew up, you know, with that message in mind, and it was hard for me to give up some of those things, like hiring a personal assistant or a housekeeper or a cook or things like that. But I realized how important that was to get that time freedom. How about you? Can you tell us about your experiences with leveraging other people to help?
Yeah, I think that it's been a challenge for me as well. I mean, I'm definitely of that mindset. If you can just do it, right? And then there's the concept of letting it go and expecting anybody else to do it as well as you do, whatever it might be, right? And so, but I've learned over time, as you get busier and busier, and everyone knows this, the rate limiting step, or like kind of your most limited resource, is your time. So how are you going to actually use that to best effect, right? To optimize that. If you were going to optimize the few hours that you have free in the day, how do you want to do that? And so what's that worth to you? And I think that's something that also people have to realize, is like, how much is your time worth? Whether it's seeing a patient, whether it's spending time with your family, it actually helps to put a number on it. I found it helps put a number on it, because then it helps you decide whether you should be doing something or whether you should hire somebody else to do it. And so I think that anybody listening to this, I'm assuming they're a high net worth professional, they know what it would cost to pick up an extra hour at work. And I would tell people, if they're valuing their time and their hour for anything less than at least $250 an hour, they're doing themselves a disservice. I think most people should be valuing their time at least at $500 an hour. And so if you think about that, and there's something else that you don't enjoy doing, and you can hire somebody to do that for $20 an hour, $25 an hour, which frees you up to do the things you actually do enjoy doing, to me, it's a no-brainer. And I've learned that, you know, when I watch some of the most successful people out there who are doing, you know, that seem like they're doing everything, there's no way they're doing everything. They're just doing the stuff that creates the most impact and is the most time efficient for them, right? And actually brings them the most joy. And so, like, when you see people like the change makers out there, right? Elon Musk's and all these type people, and, you know, Richard Branson doing the space thing, they're not doing everything. They're just doing the stuff that really kind of moves the needle and stuff that they enjoy doing. And I think we all need to do that as physicians, as high net worth individuals. Like, again, if that's spending time with your family, if that's coaching soccer, then you should be doing that, right? Instead, and hire somebody else to do things you're not enjoying, right? And so I've learned to do that through the help of not only hiring people for my businesses, but let's say even virtual assistants. I mean, that's something that we have a great resource out there in terms of, like, these days we're so connected to so many people and they can do things virtually. I have a virtual assistants, personal assistants, whatever it might be, like even simple things like getting the groceries delivered to us. I mean, that is like, if to me, that's been a game changer for myself, my wife, and I'm trying to institute the same system for her because she has different responsibilities than I do. And some of them, I was like, what do you not enjoy doing? And so we've gone through it. And she's like, I don't enjoy doing this, this, or that. And I said, all right, we're going to figure out how to hire somebody for that. So you can do the things that you enjoy that you even feel passionate about to do more of. And so I think that's really been a game changer for our lives. And again, it comes down to that whole concept of leverage that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so important. I love how you put that. And just think about getting personal assistant. I think that's a huge step. And that took me a while. I mean, in fact, this is the first year of the whole path that I've taken in financial independence and trying to get that time freedom. This is the first year I've actually hired a personal assistant, which it was a hard step for me, but I realize now how important it was because I have so much time now to do the things that I truly love and spend time with my kids versus, you know, doing things that I just really didn't want to do, but thought that I had to do. So I would really suggest for those listening to take that leap and do it because the amount of money you pay this personal assistant, I mean, you could potentially do a shift or two in the hospital or, you know, just do some extra work and you would pay for that easily. And that's month work of work. So that's great. Thanks for that, Peter. And I guess to end off, given that you've started this resource for physicians, Passive Income MD, how would you let people know or how would you advise people to take these steps that you've mentioned? What resources could they use to get this?
Yeah, I tell people that there's no one way to get there, but I think it starts, people have to do some of these steps, at least in order, in my opinion. Otherwise, they're kind of just wandering around like aimlessly. I think the first step that people need to do just to kind of get started on this whole journey is to figure out what they want. Like it's a whole roadmap kind of analogy where you have to know two things, right? To figure out, kind of actually read a map and get where you want to be. You need to know where you want to be, and then you need to know where you're starting. And so I think it's really important for people to start at that place. Figure out what your ideal life looks like. How much time do you want to spend in medicine? How much time do you want to spend with your family? Do you want to travel? Do you want to do these other things? What kind of impact do you want to make? Come up with a number that you think you need to accomplish these type of things. Start with that, because then it kind of gets you, you know, it helps you figure out where the goal line is, helps you figure out where, you know, the finish line is. Then kind of do a good assessment of where you're at. Like, what is your current situation? Where are you happy? What are things working well? What things are not working well? Start with that whole kind of concept. Then you start going out there and figuring out what kind of resources can help you achieve this kind of thing. And obviously that starts with listening to podcasts, starts with finding blogs, books, finding mentors, finding communities of people who are doing the same thing that you're doing or have the same. I mean, that's huge. That's been a game changer for me, by the way, is finding a community of like-minded people. The other thing is finding people who can mentor or coach you. And that's been an acceleration thing for me as well, finding good coaches in this space. Then that actually helps you decide what resources, you know, how to kind of spend your capital and your time. And then, of course, the next step after that is to simply take action to kind of make those goals a reality. And so that's why I tell people a basic framework to get it done. Passive Income MD is a resource that I feel can help in some of those things. Obviously, we have educational resources as well. We have our courses, our conferences. But one of the best things that I'm most proud of is our community. So if people want to join our community of people who are trying to do this as well, there's our Facebook group, Passive Income Docs. But again, get connected with other people who are trying to achieve the same thing. Because if you're in the same room with these people, ideas start getting passed, you know, back and forth, and you can actually help each other achieve these things.
Great. That was excellent. So just paint a picture for us as a financially independent young physician. Where do you see your life headed in the future? What do you see for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is that I've really tried to create my ideal life now. Like I know that we all need to plan for the future, and that's absolutely important. But I read a book recently called Die with Zero. I don't know if you've read that book. I really recommend it to people out there who are listening to this. It kind of talks about what is the prime of your life and how do you want to spend it? And for most people, they kind of put all their, I say, eggs in a basket to plan for that 60-year-old, 65-year-old retirement where you're going to start enjoying life. The question is, like, are you going to be healthy enough to enjoy it at that time? Is your life going to be where you want it to be enjoy? So you kind of do inventory of your life. What is the period of your life where you have that income and you have the health? And it's at that intersection, you should be really pouring a lot of your resources in to enjoy that time the most. And I found that time is right now. So my kids are young. I'm working in medicine 1 to 2 days a week is my ideal life. I work on my businesses. I spend time with my family, and we're going to do a good amount of traveling. We're about to take a nice big road trip next week with my family. As the years go on, 5, 10 years from now, I expect to be doing a lot of the same, you know, watching my kids grow up, trying to serve people in terms of this brand and really working with people in the community. And honestly, the other thing that I could continue to grow in is I'm always trying to learn how to do this better or continually surrounding myself with people who are, I'd say, a level up from me right? Trying to learn from them and learn from their experience. So that's kind of where I see myself in 5 to 10 years. I hope I'm doing more good out there for people and just really seeing my kids grow up.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Peter. It was great having you on.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. This was fun. Best of luck, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast. I hope you got a lot of information out of it, and I hope you tune in next time. See you soon.